work week, raring to go. You have some good stuff lined up. If you're a sports fan, if you're a football fan, ooh, if you're a fan of Ask Amy Anything, this is your hour. It's on The Price is Right. I don't know why that just seemed to flow. It's one of those types of shows where my brain is much more like a plate of spaghetti, and it's seemingly all over the place right now, but that's all right. My friends tell me that when I'm a little more tired than usual, the show is always more entertaining. Huh. I'm not sure what that means about me when I'm in full possession of my senses and thinking clearly and with great clarity. Nah, I'm more entertaining when I'm off my rocker. It is our hump show, middle show of the work week, after hours with Amy Lawrence. We're glad to have you with us. Whether you are still awake on your Tuesday night, whether you can't sleep in the middle of your Tuesday night, whether already awake, rocking your Wednesday, your hump day, we've got just the thing. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. Last night, all the rage was bunny phone calls, if you don't know what I'm talking about. Podcast. Right now, we're inching ever closer to Ask Amy Anything, which means that you can send your last-minute questions. We're inside of 40 minutes to go. Last-minute questions to our show Twitter, at Amy After Hours, or to our Facebook page. And if I'm pretty sure the poll is still ongoing as well. So you can vote about the Final Four playoff series with the most buzz. Buzz or no buzz. Last hour we had a caller from Toronto named Alan. And it felt like I used a really good line in the middle of what he was talking about with the basketball series. Jay, it went something along the lines of how long it had been how long it had been since the Rangers had won a Stanley Cup, right? And he's like, 30 is a nice round number. And then he moves on to the Panthers, who've never won. And I drop the 0 is an even nicer rounder number, and just right over his head. I was kind of disappointed. I felt like it was some of my best work.
I appreciated it.
Thank you, Jay. Every now and then I come up with something delightful like fever.
That was good.
Yeah. My mom didn't really have much to say on Tuesday night because there was no Indiana fever game.
She could be locked in tonight on Wednesday night.
Another fever game. If you need your Caitlin Clark fix, well, guess what? She's a lot richer. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear the numbers from what is being labeled an historic partnership with Wilson, not Wilson, just Wilson. But I almost can't say it without the emphasis that comes from what movie, Jay?
Castaway.
Castaway. One of my all-time favorite movies. It's in my top five of all-time favorite movies. And now whenever I see the name, or in this case, the company, Wilson, I can't help but yelling it with passion.
I'm coming! Wilson!
Wait, I need the one where he really gets upset. Wilson! Yeah, I'll give you time. Anyway, that's not the type of Wilson we're talking about. That was a volleyball, wasn't it? Yeah, Wilson was a volleyball.
Right.
Well, Wilson, for Caitlin Clark, is an orange basketball. So different kind of ball, thank heavens. Actually, that might be kind of fun. If they partnered.
Wilson! I'm sorry!
Oh, I cried.
I'm sorry, Wilson!
He was so upset about his BFF Wilson floating away.
Well, he chucked him.
That's true, he did. But then he reconsidered and he couldn't get to him. He floated away.
It is very sad.
You could understand how in the situation, in a moment of frustration, he took it out on his BFF. Don't we always take out our frustrations and our emotions on those that are closest to us? I think we tend to.
Wilson!
The music.
I'm sorry, Wilson.
I'm sorry, Wilson.
Now I'm going to have to go watch that movie again.
I saw that movie when I was really young in the theater, and it actually scared me, believe it or not.
Scared you?
Yeah, I was probably like,
The plane part?
The plane part.
Huh.
Yeah, it scared the crap out of me when I was younger.
So when I was younger, someone, don't ask me which family member, actually, I think it was my father, took us to see Poltergeist in theaters. Not a good idea. I don't know. I was young. My brother's even younger than me. And I was maimed, like maimed for life. I didn't watch another horror flick until I was well into my 20s. It was awful. I had nightmares about it. My mother was furious, as you can imagine.
That's something when you go see something like that at a young age, that'll ruin the genre for you really quick.
I'm quite certain that we weren't allowed to be in that theater because we were younger than 13. And I don't recall if Poltergeist was rated R or rated PG-13.
I don't know.
But I'm certain that we were neither of those things and shouldn't have been in the theater. Actually, I don't know when that movie came out. I just remember that I was scared to death. And the part that scared me was the part in the shower. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, of course.
If you haven't seen it, I do not recommend it, especially if you're under the age of 10. What in the world would... Never mind.
Have you seen it since?
I've seen parts of it, but honestly, I don't have any desire to go back and relive that part of my life.
That's fair.
That is fair. I probably would laugh at it now. Do you think I would laugh at it now, especially since I don't believe in spirits and ghosts and all that jazz?
No, it's a creepy one.
Is it?
If you don't like horror movies, I think you'd... It's like, you know, I don't think you'd laugh. It's creepy.
Yeah. Like I said, I tried to go back and watch one when I was in my early 20s, maybe just out of college or in grad school, and it didn't work. It gave me flashbacks. I was having trauma from that time.
Covering your eyes.
So for Jay, the horror movie in this example is Castaway. He was freaked out for years. Did you try to claim that when the next time you went on a family vacation? You were supposed to fly and you told your parents, no, I can't.
No, I've flown several times since then.
No, that wasn't the question. The next time that you were supposed to go on vacation, did you tell your parents, I cannot fly because of what happened in Castaway?
Maybe at the time. Yeah. Might have been on my mind.
Right, exactly. There's lots of people that are afraid of flying. I'm not afraid of it, but every time I get into an airplane and it takes off, the thought goes through my mind, this thing weighs thousands of tons. How in the heck is it staying in the air? Like, do you ever wonder about that? And then quickly... Yeah. Turn that off. Just
it's only
turn it off.
I don't mind flying. I actually kind of enjoy it sometimes. Not like the day, the travel, the airport. Just like actually being on a plane and just having nothing to do but like whatever you. I don't mind it.
Jay takes candy on the plane.
Of course, but the takeoff is the only part of the flight where I'm like,
What if today it doesn't work? What if today there is no airflow underneath the wings and it just doesn't work?
You know, sitting on the tarmac and it starts doing that really quick takeoff thing, you know?
What if today the physics just don't work the way they're supposed to?
It always crosses your mind. But
oh, that's great, considering that my husband's supposed to be on a plane in 2 hours.
Oh, no, he's fine.
Yeah. Yes, he is. It's actually safer to fly than it is to drive in a car in terms of the stats. Don't ask me how I got on that. Wilson! That's what we're talking about. I'm sorry, Wilson!
I'm sorry!
He freaking crushed that. He crushed it.
Amazing.
So did Wilson, but Tom Hanks was even better.
Wilson stole the show.
Yeah, Wilson did. So anyway, back to Caitlin Clark and Wilson. Different Wilson. She has now signed a multi-year partnership with the company, Wilson, not the actual basketball, but it will include a signature collection. I like that. Considering how her jerseys are flying off websites and racks and shelves and out of stores like nobody's business, how popular will the basketball be? Would you like to hear what it's supposed to sound like? This is Janae Bowens on the National Desk talking about the impact of Caitlin Clark's partnership with Wilson.
The first, none other than Michael Jordan, who repped the brand during the 80s. Clark called the deal a full circle moment, saying she's used Wilson gear since she was a kid. As ambassador, she will have input on testing and advising of Wilson's basketball gear. Gold and white basketballs honoring Clark's history-making moments.
Gold and white
are expected to be available on Memorial Day to kick off the partnership.
I love that. Thank you, Janae. Sounded like she was reading a teleprompter.
I think she was.
A little bit. That's okay. We got the info. We got all the intel. Three white and gold Caitlin Clark Wilson basketballs. I'm telling you, these are going to be supremely popular. Number one graduation gift, number one Christmas gift in 2024. I'm going to go ahead and call it. Would you like to know the names? The names, they're not actually Wilson basketballs. They have names, proper names.
Do they?
Threes Up, Record Breaker, and Crowd Maestro. And they feature laser engravings with some of her signature moments from Iowa. Wow.
Crowd Maestro.
She actually did talk about it. She spoke to Boardroom about it. I think it's super special. It's been fun for me. I feel like I was just that young kid who had those basketballs that I would store in the garage. I'm very lucky and fortunate to partner with Wilson to create something that everyone can enjoy. It connects with a lot of generations. It'll be fun to see kids walking around holding them. I like that. So far, the 0-4 start for the Indiana Fever has not dampened the enthusiasm in any way. I got to tell you something that I found really interesting. A fellow host here on the network seemed very sure that if the Fever don't quickly become a winning team, and I don't think they are quickly going to morph into a winning team, you can tell they're already getting better, but it's going to take a bit. I mean, they've been bad, and now they're young, and they're trying to put it all together. So it's not going to happen. Oh, that was a bad snap. Oh, there we go.
There it is.
For a second, I was worried that I forgot how to do it, or something was wrong with my fingers. I still can't wink, but that's another story.
Are you a good whistler?
Another segment. No, I can't wink or whistle.
No, you can do better than that.
Can I?
I don't know.
Thank you, Wilson, my best friend.
It's there.
It's a little bit too windy. It's a windy whistle. And I can make no other tones with the whistle. I can't do like a...
Oh, no, like melodies?
Nope.
When the Saints go marching in?
All right, smartass. Anyway, so for Caitlin Clark, she and the Indiana Fever at 0-4, according to my colleague, will soon be losing the support of fans. She believes that unless they start winning, within weeks, nobody's going to care. I'm going to go with disagree heartily. And the reason I say that is because as much as basketball is a team sport, and I do believe that wholeheartedly, Caitlin Clark is the draw right now. The way that Steph Curry was the draw when he came out of Davidson, how many people can name other Davidson teammates of Steph Curry's when he was in school? Steph Curry is the draw. They have to have separate security for him when the Warriors go on the road, right? I mean, he's an epic megastar. And his journey, it's the subject of books and movies and everything else. Steph Curry transcends basketball. And while Caitlin Clark hasn't won the titles and doesn't have the three-point records at the pro level yet, she will keep the attention. The Warriors didn't win right away when Steph got into the NBA. In fact, he struggled with some injuries. You may remember he had ankle injuries when he first got into the NBA. He had to get stronger. He had to figure out how to withstand the rigors of an 82-game regular season where most of the defenders he was facing were bigger. They weren't faster, but they were bigger and they were stronger. And their entire job was to bruise him. Their entire job was to wear him out by the end of the game by playing physical defense. That was the scout on Steph Curry. Wear him down by playing physical defense. So at the end of the game, he's too tired to jack up threes. So he dealt with injuries early in his career. So it took a while before the Warriors became a winning team. Didn't matter. People were all in on Steph, and people will remain all in on Caitlin Clark. And the Fever are going to get better. They can't not improve. So I disagree with this host, this fellow host, who says that if they don't win, the enthusiasm will wane. Now, the enthusiasm may wane for the WNBA or women's college basketball as a whole, though I hope that's not the case. But the furor, the interest, the excitement level around Caitlin Clark, that's going to remain. I hope they do win because she'll have more fun with it. But even if it takes a year and a half, pretty sure people are going to stick with her because this is what her journey has been about. Proving people wrong. Turning Iowa, along with Lisa Bluder, into a championship contender. She chose to stay at Iowa and take a, I don't want to say a harder route, but it probably was tougher than her going to Connecticut or Tennessee or Stanford or Duke. Perennial powers. Instead, she wanted to be home. But that's how good she is. And she'll be a draw to other players as well. I mean, free agents will want to play with her the way that free agents want to play with Steph. So yeah, I disagree wholeheartedly, but it will be interesting to see how it unfolds. All right, coming up, are you kidding me? QB News in May. And these are voluntary OTAs, by the way. Mike McDaniel wants to remind you of that. They're voluntary.
And I was like, hey.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Get your questions in for Ask Amy Anything to our show Twitter at Amy After Hours, then also on our Facebook page. By the way, speaking of QB news, Drake May was at the Celtics game courtside last night, as was Big Poppy, taking videos and selfies there courtside. Who else did I see? Oh, Donnie Wahlberg was there. Blue Bloods is, I don't know if it's on hiatus now, but they're taking this big break between the spring and the fall sessions.
Is Mark there?
I did not see Mark, but I did see Donnie. Guy Fieri was also there.
Yeah, there's actually a still shot of him that, like, from the TV camera. It was, I think it was the Brown 3, and he's Guy Fieri is going nuts in the background of the photo.
I had no idea he was a Celtics fan. It's that time of the year. Everybody wants to be seen. These games are big deals. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you're waking up, good morning to you on the Infinity Sports Network.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it caught? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep. Go. For Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Touchdown. Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Kansas City.
Hand off to Eckler again. No. Herbert keeps it. End zone. Touchdown. Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap. Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five. Into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Wait, what? It's May. We're heading into Memorial Day weekend. Why in the world are we doing QB News? Oh, well, because Justin Fields and Russell Wilson are now members of the Pittsburgh Steelers QB room, and Justin speaking out for the first time since he was traded from Chicago to the Steel City. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So what about his initial reaction that he was joining the Steelers?
I think it was like 10 o'clock in Italy. I was at dinner, and, you know, I had mixed emotions. I was excited, but, you know, also, you know, sad that I was leaving Chicago, but... Since my time here, I've enjoyed it a lot. You know, meet my new teammates, the coaches. Everybody's here great. And they've definitely made the transition for me easier, for sure.
The first time I heard Justin speak about his reaction to the trade, I didn't hear the Italy part. And then on subsequent listens, realized he was in Italy. It's 10 o'clock at night. I was eating dinner. I was in Italy. So that's quite the whopper that you find out. Good for Justin, because he sounds like he's really excited about a fresh start. And I can imagine that's the case. I mean, how many of us, we give it our all. We feel like it was the right place for us or the right relationship, but it just didn't work out for whatever reason. And now you have a chance to kind of let that weight slide off your shoulders and start fresh and feel like you are getting a new opportunity. Not people who already have predetermined your worth or the fact that you will or won't ever be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Now, Russell Wilson, according to the Steelers, is the starter. There's not a competition. So what's the relationship like?
First time I ever talked to Russell was when I was in college. So, you know, we've known each other for a good bit now. And the fact that I get to, you know, learn stuff from him, you know, the things that he's accomplished, you know, up to this point in his career has been great. So just me learning just the little details, how he's so meticulous and detailed within every rep, every individual drill. It just kind of makes me think, like, you know, that's what I should be doing each and every time. So I'm glad to have him here and glad to, you know, be able to learn from him.
Justin and I have known each other for the past several years, ever since he came in the NFL, really when he's at Ohio State. And we've gotten to know each other. We used to text each other all the time and everything else. Now we're in the same room. So every day, you know, I'm trying to be my best so I can also show him and vice versa. And we're just continue to challenge one another, be the best version we can be for this football team. And that's the great part about it. And so we got a lot of respect, regard. We've played against each other several times, too. So just love the process of it all.
Well, we know what happened with Russell Wilson and the Broncos. That was a total disaster. A lot of people from the outside looking in have their ideas about why it didn't work between Justin Fields and the Bears. He didn't really want to talk about the time in Chicago, but he did say that he knew it was coming.
I've been dealing with, you know, people for, you know, a long time. So in my exit meeting, you know, we were in the same situation last year with having the number one pick, and it was just a little bit different this year. So, I mean, I'm not naive to the fact that, you know, I can read body language and stuff like that. So it wasn't really just a shock to where it's like, oh, I got traded. Like, I knew what was going to happen beforehand. So I'm just glad I got, you know, traded to the spot that I wanted to be at. I think when you're just, you know, waiting, because I knew I was going to get traded, you know, at the end of the day. That's just what it was. So it was just, you know, just me waiting and, you know, me, you know, trying to figure out where I'm going to be at and stuff like that. It was definitely a relief to, you know, kind of be on a team and know where I'm going to be at.
Did you catch it in the middle of those Justin Fields reactions to the questions that this was where he wanted to be? It's hard sometimes as an athlete to keep your mouth shut when all the trade rumors are flying about. Remember how Baker Mayfield kind of stepped into it when he said his goodbye to Cleveland? He found out they were pursuing Deshaun Watson. He said his goodbye on social media and then put it out there for the world to hear that he wanted to go to Indianapolis.
I would love to show up to somebody's cubicle and just boo the shit out of him.
He had his camp put it out there that he wanted to go to the Colts, except the Colts promptly turned around and traded for Matt Ryan. Ruh-roh. And so sometimes it's hard to keep your emotions to yourself. But Justin played it correctly. He didn't burn any bridges on his way out of Chicago, and he's been widely and warmly welcomed to Pittsburgh. And there's less pressure there because he's not, at this point, the presumptive starter, though he did say he's looking forward to competing with Russ. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Aaron Rodgers is not competing for the job with the New York Jets. At least Zach Wilson's not there anymore. However, he's still trying to work his way back from injury. So his Achilles kept him out for all but four snaps last season. How's he doing for voluntary OTAs?
I feel really good. It's just about the mental part. Just, I think these practices have been nice the last couple of days. It just feel what it's like to be out there, to be moving around and not be thinking about it, and see how I respond the next day.
So second voluntary OTA, second practice for the Jets, but the first one open to the media. So there were videos out there of him chucking the ball to Garrett Wilson when they were opening practice, but didn't have a chance to hear from Aaron until yesterday. So, of course, the question came up of whether or not he was seriously considering a political career as the vice president to Robert Kennedy.
I love Bobby. We had a couple really nice conversations, but there were really two options. It was retire and be his VP or keep playing. And I want to keep playing.
So come to find out, it was a real thing. If you believe Rodgers, I could retire and be his VP or I could keep playing. It was a real thing.
Don't make it up, okay?
Quote, it was a real thing. All right, so now that he's all in with the Jets, and we know they've completely retooled their coaching staff and roster, they did this last year, to make sure that Aaron Rodgers has all the creature comforts that he needs to create and craft and cultivate a winning football team and a winning locker room. So, yeah, for 2024, it's win or bust.
If I don't do what I know I'm capable of doing, then we're all probably going to be out of here. So I like that kind of pressure, though. I know there's, you know, it's a tough market to play in. It's not for everybody. I relish that opportunity. As you get older in the league, if you don't perform, they're going to get rid of you or bring in the next guy to take over. I mean, it happened in Green Bay. So, and I'm, you know, a few years older than I was back then. So I expect to play at a high level. I expect us to be productive and competitive and all that stuff to take care of itself.
Let's not bury the lead. The lead is that Aaron Rodgers believes that if he doesn't perform, everybody gets fired. That's interesting.
It's all on him.
Even if you believe that, is it something that you should say? Can we hear it again? Just the beginning.
If I don't do what I know I'm capable of doing, we're all probably going to be out of here. So I like that kind of pressure, though.
All right. The pressure is all on Aaron. It's interesting. Let's hope that Bryce Young isn't saying the same thing. Bryce Young going into his second year. Carolina Panthers have a new head coach in Dave Canales. Now, remember, Dave came from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers staff where he was the offensive coordinator for 1 year with Baker Mayfield as the QB, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, no expectations for the Panthers this season, but Dave likes what he sees from Bryce Young, and this is even as he's implementing a new playbook.
He's doing fantastic with it, you know, and the way that we do it is part to whole, really. So as we teach our concepts, you know, just for an example, okay, so we say we have a pass concept, right? We're not going to use six different formations today to run this concept. It becomes something really well, really good that we're effective at. We'll start to build it out. So for us, the formations are pretty vanilla, so that we can just teach the concept and what we want out of each route, the depth, the footwork for Bryce, for Andy, for Jack, you know. And so that's the approach right now. So as I expect him to do, he's really mastering that part of it. The run game as well, you know, just starting off with like the core of what our run game looks like so that the centers can make the right calls, the backs can press it proper way, and the quarterback can get us to the right run versus the different looks.
I'm really excited. Have some new pieces, and now it's, you know, now it's on us to put the work in, to build the chemistry, to get the reps on the field, and to make it translate. You know, I'm grateful for the guys that are coming in. They all have, you know, really good work ethics, great attitudes, great outlooks. You know, we all want the same thing. We all want to win. We all want to, you know, contribute to winning in whatever capacity we can.
Bryce Young, Dave Canales. We'll see whether or not they can catch lightning in a bottle. I already like listening to Dave's comments, though, in the media. He gives us meat on the bone when it comes to different schemes or ideas that he has for his quarterback, and we're not going to run all six formations in this particular snap. It's good stuff.
I covered it.
It could be a fresh look and a fresh listen for coaching press conferences. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Of course, no one can compete with Mike McDaniel in terms of his quirkiness. And of course, he's been asked about Tua and whether or not his quarterback is taking part in these workouts.
He has been here for off-season activities. He has not been here for off-season activities. He has been both. And, you know, I think, you know, important in the player-coach relationship is communication. And, you know, I think however things play out, as long as we're communicating and we're on our P's and Q's and what we need to get accomplished, then we have a fighting chance. And it's been a good exercise in our relationship this offseason.
See, this is why we do QB News in May. Tua has been part of the workouts and he's not been part of the workouts. You figure it out.
I'm here too. Okay?
You read between the lines. Hey, by the way, Tua's got a new target. That's Odell Beckham Jr.
I've seen the numbers and all that, but when you don't really get to watch the film and see what they're doing, because when you're in the season, you're watching other teams' defense. So you don't. It's not much time for you to tap in. But we sat up there and watched film for an hour and a half, and we were just talking about, you know, the plays in my career and how you're catching a runaway, and I'm watching all the plays, you know, of Waddle and Tyreek, and it's a lot of everything that's on timing, you know, like real football detailed stuff that happens. Catching the ball and you know, you're catching it out of your break. That's when you have the most separation. You catch it. Now I'm catching it and I got 2 yards to run away. And, you know, they were just telling me how accurate he is, how good of a ball he throws, you know, all of those things. So I'm super excited about it.
I guess he's stopping short of Tyreek Hill calling him the most accurate quarterback in the NFL. But maybe once OBJ actually gets out there and catches some passes from Tua, he'll be echoing that sentiment. What's more important, being the most accurate quarterback in the NFL or having a couple of Super Bowl rings, QB news. These are voluntary practices, and yet just gives us a taste of what's to come in the dog days of summer. You know, training camps are just 2 months away. What? You know what's straight ahead, though? Ask Amy anything. Get your last second questions to our show Twitter.
It's time to have some fun.
See, even the commissioner believes at Amy After Hours is where you can park those questions or on our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot.
To hit this point of the work week means we're headed downhill toward the weekend, of course. But also, I'm continually amused by the questions that you all generate through producer Jay. So let's get right to it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Ask Amy anything into year number 11 here on the network.
Let's go. So we touched on this a little bit earlier in the show. This comes from Jenny, who wants to know, are you ready for your trip to Texas? Have you even unpacked from Hawaii?
Okay. Who have you been talking to? Have you talked to Bob? So Bob and I differ in many ways. But one of the drastic ways that we differ is that when he comes home from a trip, he generally tends to unpack immediately. I actually put the suitcases back in the attic on Sunday. So it was under a week from the time that returned from Hawaii. They were half unpacked. The laundry was done at least, but yes, I did not finish emptying the suitcase until Sunday. Thankfully, this trip to Texas, although I would love to go and spend time with Bob's family, especially his mom, who I adore, this trip is really quick for me because it's a holiday weekend. I'm right back here on Sunday night. No more days off. It's too busy this time of the year. I'm only gone for 36 hours, so I don't even have to take a suitcase. I'll be taking my laptop bag because I need to take my laptop with me, and then also just a overnight bag for a change of clothes. That's pretty much it. And if it weren't for a wedding, I'd be traveling even lighter, but I do have to take a dress for the wedding. So, yeah, it's going to be a really quick one. Although a friend of mine who has million-miler status with this particular airline has actually requested a first-class upgrade for me. Like, she offered her miles. Guess she does it for a lot of people.
Take that.
Standby. She did put me on the list, so I don't know if I'll find out until Friday night when I fly whether or not I'm first class.
That'd be fun.
I mean, I've always said if I were independently wealthy, one of the things I'd spend my money on is first class. Oh, so nice. Every time I walk through, I'm like, oh.
I got in there once by accident. They messed up. They gave my ticket to the wrong person, and they had that one open, so they gave it to me.
Right.
Best flight ever.
So, not much to pack. I am officially unpacked from Hawaii. Phew.
This one comes from Karen. Oh, by the way, real quick. They say the secret to learning how to unpack faster after a trip is when you get home, dump your luggage, dump like your suitcase right on your bed.
What if I don't want to unpack quickly? I just don't want to.
Fair enough. This comes from Karen. Back to Hawaii for a sec. Wants to know, how did Daisy and Sugar do while you were away?
Well, Sugar loves my neighbor who comes to visit her every day. In fact, my neighbor Paula speaks Finnish to Sugar. I swear the cat now knows two languages. So she really loves Paula. Meets her at the door every day. They're BFFs. But after, I would say, 12 hours of hiding from us, we didn't see her for like 12 hours. When she came out, there was a lot to say, including the middle of the night. So over this past weekend, multiple times, a howling cat in the middle of the night just to let us know that while we were gone, she missed us, and now she's not going to allow us to sleep. So Sugar's back to normal, thankfully. She didn't lose any weight. I get nervous about her going on a hunger strike when I'm gone. Daisy, we actually weren't sure she was going to come back to us at all. Apparently, she had a grand old time with the friends who had her for those 2 weeks. She went to my friend has a grooming salon. She went to the dog grooming salon every day. They had a blast. There are two other puppies at the house where she stayed. So, yeah, we're actually think she's kind of bored with us now.
Sounds like a lovely time.
Yes.
This comes from Mike. It is getting warmer here in the Northeast, and Mike wants to know, what temperature do you typically have your thermostat set to in the summer?
You mean when I need the AC?
Yes.
Right. So when I sleep, and now there's another person to consider who sleeps at opposite times that I do. When I sleep during the daytime, especially if it's a really hot stretch, the AC has to be down to about 67, which freezes out the bottom level where Bob is now working. But the problem is it's a cape, and capes notoriously have a really hard time cooling off the upstairs. Not only is heat rising, but it's the big sloping roof, and it just makes it really difficult to cool down the upstairs. We did turn on the AC for the first time yesterday, so it was on overnight for him to sleep because it's about 10 degrees hotter upstairs than it is downstairs. So thankfully, these next couple days where we've got temps near 90, he won't be in the house, so I can crank down the AC during the daytime when I need to sleep. I kind of feel bad, but I do not sleep well if I'm hot.
No,
I can sleep much better in the cold, not in the hot.
Because you can like put more blankets on and warm up, and they're hot. It's just bad.
It's tough.
Let's do some food here. Matt wants to know
Let's eat some food here.
That sounds nice too. Matt wants to know, what's your favorite and least favorite barbecue food?
Oh gosh, I don't eat. Is hot dog considered a barbecue food? Are we talking like barbecue, as in barbecue chicken, pulled pork?
Like the classic, you know, cookout stuff.
Well, if we're talking about a cookout, I don't eat hot dogs. So as much as people try to build them like they're so delicious, and I know they're convenient and fun and whatever, no, a hot dog is not a sandwich, and no, I don't eat hot dogs. So, yeah, so that's probably my least favorite. But if we're talking about a Polish cookout, which is half my side of the family, like my dad's side of the family is Polish, kielbasa, yes. Oh, yeah, all kinds of sausage, we're all about that. So that to me is tremendous. I do like pulled pork. If we're talking about like a Texas barbecue, and also I really enjoy any kind of beef. We had beef in Hawaii, like barbecue beef in Hawaii. So that's good. Hamburgers are great. That kind of stuff is up my alley for sure.
Well, you just settled it on hot dogs. Joshua wants to know, is an open-faced sandwich really a sandwich?
No, unless, of course, it was a sandwich and you took the top layer of bread off, which I'll confess, I don't eat a lot of bread, especially not white bread. And when I do get a hamburger, or if I go out and I eat a burger, I always take the top bun off.
Is a hamburger a sandwich?
It is a sandwich. It's got two pieces of bread. Yes, it's a sandwich. Two pieces of bread that provide the top and the bottom.
But what about a hot dog then? It connects, that's only one piece of bread.
Yeah, to me, a sandwich is defined by a piece of bread on top and a piece of bread on bottom.
All right, that's fair.
All right.
We were talking about Castaway and Tom Hanks before. Mike wants to know, what is your favorite Tom Hanks moment in the movie besides Wilson and Castaway? What are your favorite Tom Hanks moment in a movie besides Castaway and Wilson?
Oh, gotcha. Well, Money Pit, of course, where he freaks out when the when the tub falls through the floor and he loses his mind laughing like a crazy man. That's got to be one of my the absolute funniest movie moments that I've ever seen. So that's one of them. But, I mean, we're talking Tom Hanks movies. There's a bazillion of them, right? So you could also point to the one in A League of Their Own. There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball. So that's another one. Huh. Let me see if I can think of some other ones just off the top of my head. Man, Big. You put me on the spot. Big, where he dances on the piano. That's another one. Saving Private Ryan. I mean, I only saw that a couple years ago, but really? He's obviously incredible in that. Captain Phillips, have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah.
It's about the ship that got hijacked by the pirates. So there's a lot of really incredible moments in that one where he's in the escape pod, if you will.
He's Sully, too, right?
And how about Apollo 13? I mean, yet another one. Yeah, so Forrest Gump.
How do we go that long?
I was running. Right. So there's so many good ones. It's impossible to narrow it down to just one or two moments.
This comes from Shirley, who asks, have you ever put something in a safe place and then took a very long time to remember where to find it?
Always. Like, it's a once a week thing with me. As my husband, I'll tell him, I know I put this somewhere to keep it safe, and then I can't find it. It's lucky that I can remember where my cash stash is. Do you have a cash stash?
Of course.
Okay. All right. So I at least have remembered where that is.
David wants to know, do you have a driving song? A song that's more likely to make you forget the speed limit isn't just a suggestion,
life
but the law.
Highway. No, that's just one of them. I've got, again, so many that it's probably hard to even narrow it down. Walking on Sunshine, that's a great one. Couple of different Bon Jovi flicks. It's My Life is a good one.
Yeah.
So, right, I could go on and on. Billy Joel songs, Bryan Adams. Yeah, just don't get me started on music. Love, love, love. Or if you want, we can take a 10-hour road trip and listen to every single one of the John Williams Star Wars soundtracks.
I would love to do that.
Okay.
That sounds
next year.
Before rapid fire, Richard says, looks like you're a fan of bunnies. How do you feel about squirrels?
Penny likes squirrels more than I do. She used to tree them and then bark at them for like 10 minutes. All I could do is laugh.
All right, let's close with rapid fire. Swimming pool or beach?
Beach.
Shoes or slippers?
Flip-flops.
Cookies or chips?
Oh, man. Hint of lime Tostitos or chocolate chip cookies.
Pudding or Jell-O?
Ew, neither.
Yacht or jet ski?
Jet ski. Freedom!
Blinds or drapes?
Blinds.
Unicorn or dragon?
Unicorn. Mm. They fly. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot.
To hit this point of the work week means we're headed downhill toward the weekend, of course, but also I'm continually amused by the questions that you all generate through producer Jay. So let's get right to it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Ask Amy anything into year number 11 here on the network.
Let's go. So we touched on this a little bit earlier in the show. This comes from Jenny, who wants to know, are you ready for your trip to Texas? Have you even unpacked from Hawaii?
Okay. Who have you been talking to? Have you talked to Bob? So Bob and I differ in many ways. But one of the drastic ways that we differ is that when he comes home from a trip, he generally tends to unpack immediately. I actually put the suitcases back in the attic on Sunday. So it was under a week from the time that I returned from Hawaii. They were half unpacked. The laundry was done at least, but yes, I did not finish emptying the suitcase until Sunday. Thankfully, this trip to Texas, although I would love to go and spend time with Bob's family, especially his mom, who I adore, this trip is really quick for me because it's a holiday weekend. I'm right back here on Sunday night. No more days off. It's too busy this time of the year. I'm only gone for 36 hours, so I don't even have to take a suitcase. I'll be taking my laptop bag because I need to take my laptop with me, and then also just a overnight bag for a change of clothes. That's pretty much it. And if it weren't for a wedding, I'd be traveling even lighter, but I do have to take a dress for the wedding. So, yeah, it's going to be a really quick one. Although a friend of mine who has million-miler status with this particular airline has actually requested a first-class upgrade for me. Like, she offered her miles. Guess she does it for a lot of people.
Take that.
Yeah, well, I know. What? Standby. She did put me on the list, so I don't know if I'll find out until Friday night when I fly whether or not I'm first class.
That'd be fun.
I mean, I've always said if I were independently wealthy, one of the things I'd spend my money on is first class. Oh, so nice. Every time I walk through, I'm like,
I got in there once by accident. They messed up. They gave my ticket to the wrong person, and they had that one open, so they gave it to me.
Right.
Best flight ever.
So yeah, not much to pack. I am officially unpacked from Hawaii. Phew.
This one comes from Karen. Oh, by the way, real quick. They say the secret to learning how to unpack faster after a trip is when you get home, dump your luggage, dump like your suitcase right on your bed.
What if I don't want to unpack quickly? I just don't want to.
Fair enough. This comes from Karen. Back to Hawaii for a sec. Wants to know, how did Daisy and Sugar do while you were away?
Well, Sugar loves my neighbor who comes to visit her every day. In fact, my neighbor Paula speaks Finnish to Sugar. I swear the cat now knows two languages. So she really loves Paula. Meets her at the door every day. They're BFFs. But after, I would say, 12 hours of hiding from us, we didn't see her for like 12 hours. When she came out, there was a lot to say, including the middle of the night. So over this past weekend, multiple times, a howling cat in the middle of the night just to let us know that while we were gone, she missed us, and now she's not going to allow us to sleep. So Sugar's back to normal, thankfully. She didn't lose any weight. I get nervous about her going on a hunger strike when I'm gone. Daisy, we actually weren't sure she was going to come back to us at all. Apparently, she had a grand old time with the friends who had her for those 2 weeks. She went to my friend has a grooming salon. She went to the dog grooming salon every day. They had a blast. There are two other puppies at the house where she stayed. So, yeah, we're actually think she's kind of bored with us now.
Sounds like a lovely time.
Yes.
This comes from Mike. It is getting warmer here in the Northeast. And Mike wants to know, what temperature do you typically have your thermostat set to in the summer?
You mean when I need the AC?
Yes.
Right. So when I sleep, and now there's another person to consider who sleeps at opposite times that I do. When I sleep during the daytime, especially if it's a really hot stretch, the AC has to be down to about 67, which freezes out the bottom level where Bob is now working. But the problem is it's a cape, and capes notoriously have a really hard time cooling off the upstairs. Not only is heat rising, but it's the big sloping roof, and it just makes it really difficult to cool down the upstairs. We did turn on the AC for the first time yesterday, so it was on overnight for him to sleep because it's about 10 degrees hotter upstairs than it is downstairs. So thankfully, these next couple days where we've got temps near 90, he won't be in the house, so I can crank down the AC during the daytime when I need to sleep. I kind of feel bad, but I do not sleep well if I'm hot.
No,
I can sleep much better in the cold, not in the hot.
Because you can like put more blankets on and warm up when they're hot. It's
tough.
Let's do some food here. Matt wants to know
some food here.
That sounds nice too. Matt wants to know, what's your favorite and least favorite barbecue food?
Oh gosh, I don't eat. Is hot dog considered a barbecue food? Are we talking like barbecue as in barbecue chicken, pulled pork?
Like the classic, you know, cookout stuff.
Well, if we're talking about a cookout, I don't eat hot dogs. So as much as people try to build them like they're so delicious and I know they're convenient and fun and whatever, no, a hot dog is not a sandwich, and no, I don't eat hot dogs. So that's probably my least favorite. But if we're talking about a Polish cookout, which is half my side of the family, like my dad's side of the family is Polish, kielbasa, all kinds of sausage, we're all about that. So that to me is tremendous. I do like pulled pork if we're talking about it, like a Texas barbecue, and also I really enjoy any kind of beef. We had beef in Hawaii, like barbecue beef in Hawaii, so that's good. Hamburgers are great. That kind of stuff is up my alley for sure.
Well, you just settled it on hot dogs. Joshua wants to know, is an open-faced sandwich really a sandwich?
No, unless, of course, it was a sandwich and you took the top layer of bread off, which I'll confess, I don't eat a lot of bread, especially not white bread. And when I do get a hamburger, or if I go out and I eat a burger, I always take the top bun off.
Is a hamburger a sandwich?
It is a sandwich. It's got two pieces of bread. Yes, it's a sandwich. Two pieces of bread that provide the top and the bottom.
But what about a hot dog then? It connects, that's only one piece of bread.
Yeah, to me, a sandwich is defined by a piece of bread on top and a piece of bread on bottom.
All right, that's fair.
All right.
We were talking about Castaway and Tom Hanks before. Mike wants to know, what is your favorite Tom Hanks moment in the movie besides Wilson and Castaway? What are your favorite Tom Hanks moment in a movie besides Castaway and Wilson?
Oh, gotcha. Well, Money Pit, of course, where he freaks out when the when the tub falls through the floor and he loses his mind laughing like a crazy man. That's got to be one of my the absolute funniest movie moments that I've ever seen. So that's one of them. But, I mean, we're talking Tom Hanks movies. There's a bazillion of them, right? So you could also point to the one in A League of Their Own. There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball. So that's another one. Huh. Let me see if I can think of some other ones just off the top of my head. Man, you put me on the spot. Big, where he dances on the piano. That's another one. Saving Private Ryan. I mean, I only saw that a couple years ago, but really? He's obviously incredible in that. Captain Phillips, have you seen that one?
Oh, yeah.
It's about the ship that got hijacked by the pirates. So there's a lot of really incredible moments in that one where he's in the escape pod, if you will.
He's Sully, too, right?
And how about Apollo 13? I mean, another one. Yeah, so Forrest Gump. Right. So there's so many good ones. It's impossible to narrow it down to just one or two moments.
This comes from Shirley, who asks, have you ever put something in a safe place and then took a very long time to remember where to
always,
find it?
Always. Like, it's a once a week thing with me. As my husband, I'll tell him, I know I put this somewhere to keep it safe, and then I can't find it. It's lucky that I can remember where my cash stash is. Do you have a cash stash?
Of course.
Okay. All right. So I at least have remembered where that is.
David wants to know, do you have a driving song? A song that's more likely to make you forget the speed limit isn't just a suggestion,
life
but the law.
Highway. No, that's just one of them. I've got, again, so many that it's probably hard to even narrow it down. Walking on Sunshine, that's a great one. A couple of different Bon Jovi flicks, It's My Life is a good one.
Yeah.
So, right, I could go on and on. Billy Joel songs, Bryan Adams. Yeah, just don't get me started on music. Love, love, love. Or, if you want, we can take a 10-hour road trip and listen to every single one of the John Williams Star Wars soundtracks.
I would love to do that.
Okay.
That sounds
next
amazing.
Year.
Before rapid fire, Richard says, looks like you're a fan of bunnies. How do you feel about squirrels?
Penny likes squirrels more than I do. She used to tree them and then bark at them for like 10 minutes. All I could do was laugh.
All right, let's close with rapid fire. Swimming pool or beach?
Beach.
Shoes or slippers?
Flip-flops.
Cookies or chips?
Oh, man. Hint of lime Tostitos or chocolate chip cookies.
Pudding or Jell-O?
Ew, neither.
Yacht or jet ski?
Jet ski. Freedom!
Blinds or drapes?
Blinds.
Unicorn or dragon?
Unicorn. Mm. They fly. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.